Jacoby Jones, our guest tonight on Ravens One-on-One, as the Ravens get set to take on the Pittsburgh Steelers Sunday. Jacoby, now with 11 games as a Raven under your belt, you are quite comfortable with Joe Flacco and with this offense. Joe Flacco, from a Baltimore Ravens perspective, seems like one of the more underappreciated quarterback talents in the NFL. 75 consecutive starts. Only Philip Rivers and Eli Manning have a longer start string currently in the NFL. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say, from a receiver's perspective, he can make all the throws, right?
Man, I call him Smoking Joe. Joe, throw that thing, man. And I enjoy it. I'm telling you, you take a spinning top and you watch that sucker and you remember.
Right.
What? Joe can handle it. He controlled that rock. He had a rope on it.
He does. And it's an amazing thing to see. Yet he does not get the national respect. Is that a function of you have to win the Super Bowl for him to be considered elite?
No, I wouldn't. Well, maybe the media. I'm just saying. They might take it at that. But people in the NFL that play against him and play with him, they know.
They consider
him. Oh, they know.
The comeback in San Diego. You guys are dead. Let's face it. It's 4th and 29. If you don't convert, it's over. The Chargers win that game.
Right.
As you watch Ray Rice take the check down pass, what was going through your mind as a teammate?
Well, we was it was 4th and forever. So it was all goals. I took off. I'm hauling butt downfield. I'm thinking George is going to launch it. So I'm hauling. I look and I see the receiver. I see the corner break. I'm like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, Ray running. I'm looking like, Ray running. Ray is running. So I'm trying to go block somebody. I look and I see Q clean dude. Boom. I'm like, Ray. And he fell right by me. And I look up. I'm like, oh, we got the first. I was sitting there like, damn. Got the first.
Now, Anquan Boldin threw one of the great blocks you'll ever see a receiver throw on that play.
Yeah, buddy.
But he was so perfectly timed on that block. If he arrives a half a second late, it's a block to the back and the play's negated. So as you're a receiver on that play and you sense, all right, this is awfully close, does the thought go through your mind, I need to throw a block to get him sprung, or I better avoid a block so I don't screw this up?
It's sometimes good to have a no block. That's why I stopped. I just stopped chasing because
I didn't throw a block on that play.
I probably hit dude 20 in the back. I stopped.
Right.
But Q had buddy zero then.
Q absolutely blew up.
When I tell you he locked in, it was over with.
Q can block.
Oh, but Q is strong. Q is a bully.
Do you mind blocking?
Oh, yeah. I love blocking.
Do you?
Oh, yeah. If I put these paws on, you ain't going nowhere.
But, you know, you're not supposed to lock in with the paws, right?
Yo, see, you don't know about that trick. You got to get inside them shoulder pads. I mean, inside, hands inside, that's not holding. Put them paws on.
As long as you don't get caught, it's not holding. That is the philosophy.
Everybody know the game.
Tricks of the trade. Cam Cameron, your offensive coordinator, probably the toughest job in the NFL is being an offensive coordinator, because no matter how good you are, every fan is better than you in their mind, right? Everybody thinks they can do a better job than the offensive coordinator. How have you felt in Cam's offense? Because you seem a lot more comfortable in this offense than in the Texans' offense.
I mean, the ball, like, Cam called plays, you know, he let Joe work. So it's like everybody touching the ball. We got so many weapons. Like, so Cam really got that thing in cruise control. He's fine. But, I mean, everybody in the world think they could call a football game when they watch it on TV.
Everybody.
So when you really get down and get in that action, see how live it is, sometimes people could switch for one day.
And see how violent it is.
What? It's controlled chaos.
Does it bother you as a player to hear all the criticisms that come from people who don't have any idea of what you're going through in a situation?
Now, nowadays, with the criticism I've been through after having me in Houston, that don't even bother me no more. I don't even pay attention to it. It's like a straight wall.
So everything you went through in Houston served a purpose.
Yes. Everything for a reason in life.
Take me through the tough times. What was the toughest part of the first 5 years of your career? As a man, having to deal with all the things you had to deal with as a man. Not just a player, but as a man.
By me coming from Lane College, which was a small school, we had like maybe 2,000, 2,500 people in the school. So having me come from Lane College and coming to the NFL, adjusting to that lifestyle, it was fast for me. I went from pretty much broke to, like,
cash money.
And I'm like, oh, my eyes are big. So I had to adjust to the lifestyle, slow it down, and be a man. I was a 22-year-old, 21-year-old boy. I had to become a man.
So who becomes your role model to get you through that window? Because that three-year window, you either make it through that and survive in this league, or you're three and out like so many guys are. How were you able to make it through that growth period and stay in the league?
Well, Andre Johnson took me on his wing, too. You know, he taught me some things, but he always, like I say, showed by action. And at one point, I actually had to stand up and be a man. You know, I had to cut some things out and then take on responsibilities. So, I mean, if you want to do something, you'll do it. And you know better. Like NFL's staying not for long. You'll be in and out like it ain't nothing.
Do you try to share that with the younger players now because you did go through that?
That'd be the first thing I tell when I meet them. I would say, man, look, hey, not for long. Be consistent and keep yourself on the walk that straight line.
ESPN did a story not that long ago on the number of players who, by the time they leave the league, are either broke, divorced, or both.
I'm cheap, so you don't worry about that.
But you see the stats. You see the numbers of guys who make huge money, and all of a sudden, a couple years later, they're out of money. Does that scare you as a player?
No, because, you know, a lot of them, they do. A lot of them, they always be having guys get ripped off by, you know what I'm saying, people handling their money for them, putting it in stocks and bonds. I don't do that. I do like my grandma used to do. Put the money under the mattress.
So you take care of your own money?
Put it in the medicine bottle.
After 6 years, that's a pretty decent-sized bottle, I would think.
Yes, I got a bunch of them. I'm old school, man. I let my money sit there. Don't touch it.
Because, you know, if you handle your money correctly as an NFL player, you don't have to work the rest of your life.
You sure don't. Unless
but
you choose to.
The time will come, and hopefully no time soon, where your NFL career will wind down and you will live, you know, a life out of football. What's Jacoby Jones think of the ideal life long after this conversation out of football?
Well, of course I'm going to be a great father to my son. And then I'll probably settle down, become a man, one day get married. And I might coach. I want to coach college football, small school like where I came from.
Like Elaine?
Yes, that's what I want to do.
Small school?
Small school. I don't want to be – I'm just low-key, finding, enjoy my money and my family.
And help some younger players enjoy football.
Exactly.
Not a bad combination. Jacoby Jones, our guest. You're listening to Ravens One-on-One.